Good morning. We are designed to interpret each other's actions. It is a natural occurrence for humans as well as for many animals. Babies do this. They learn that a smile and laughter usually means that someone is happy. And that usually makes them happy. They interpret the smile and laughter to mean something. When we meet new people, we spend a little bit of time observing them to learn how to effectively interpret their actions and facial expressions. This happens without us knowing it. We are designed to be able to do this, to be able to observe a behavior, reference the behavior with what we previously know about the person, and then interpret that behavior the best way we can. And to take it a step further, as social creatures, we use other people's interpretations of our actions to decide whether or not we want to continue that action. We see this a lot in comedy. Comedians watch their audience to see what they find funny or amusing, and then they use that feedback as a guideline for the rest of their performance. Every single time we interact with people, we do this. Some of us are better at interpreting others' actions. Some of us are better at responding to interpretations. But all of us have the same ability to send messages through our actions, attitudes, and words. That is what people try to interpret about us, what message we are trying to send. Granted, sometimes the message we think someone is sending is incorrect. There have been times, many times, where I have thought someone meant something, when in reality they weren't trying to display that at all. Sometimes our drive, or maybe just my drive, to interpret people's actions gets me in trouble. In psychology, there is a term called a locus of responsibility. This basically is asking the question, who's responsible? Where does the responsibility lie? Usually people either place responsibility on themselves or on others. And this term can be applied across the board, from who's responsible for my car accident to who is responsible for getting me food. So what about the situation? What is our locus of responsibility in respects to how people interpret our actions? How much do we control with what message people receive? Am I responsible if someone misinterprets my actions? Am I responsible if someone chooses to misinterpret my actions because they don't like me or what I believe in? How much am I in control of here? For some people, they feel responsible for whatever message people receive from their actions, whether that message is correct or incorrect. Others don't feel responsible at all for whatever message people receive. The reality lies somewhere between the two. One example that pops into my head is, say I go out to eat with Destry at, say, McDonald's. Just him and me. There isn't really a message that Destry and I are trying to send others. But some of the people will interpret our actions as being friends, and they'd be correct. On the other hand, in today's society, some might interpret our being there together as being a homosexual couple. Now, is either Destry or myself responsible for that message? No, of course not. We did nothing to imply that except for eating together. It is not my responsibility if they think I'm a homosexual if I've done nothing to encourage that or imply that. Could I have avoided sending that message? Yeah, not be seen with Destry in public. Good idea, but... but that is not reasonable. There is only so much that I am responsible for. Only so much I can control. What I can control is how I act and what message I try to send. Now, why is this important? Why would I care what message people get from my actions? It doesn't matter what they think. What matters is what God thinks. Well, that's true. It shouldn't matter too much what people think of us. But it should matter what message we are sending people. While we're not directly responsible for whatever message people receive, we need to be aware of how people might interpret what we do. Going back to the example of Destry and I, if we both know that people get that message, then perhaps we need to change something about how we interact. Are we responsible for the false interpretation? No. But I should do my best to try and avoid giving them any further information to support their false idea. And of course, I can only do so much. Sometimes people just see what they want to see. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22 says, "Abstain from every form of evil." Colossians 4 and verse 5, "Walk in wisdom to those who are outside, redeeming the time." 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 through 12, "Though you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing." What is the focus here? Why are we to walk in wisdom, to walk properly, to abstain from every form of evil? It is because of those who are outside. It is because of unbelievers that we must be aware if our actions could get interpreted. And not only that, it is because of the brethren as well. In Romans 14, Paul describes a situation in which he tells the brethren something very, very similar. At that time, some of the Christians who previously practiced Judaism still observed some of the Jewish holy days and followed the eating restrictions in the Jewish law. The other Christians who weren't Jewish prior, they didn't have restriction for their food. In the early part of the chapter, Paul is advising the Christians who didn't restrict themselves not to judge the Christians who did restrict themselves. Picking up in verse 13, Romans 14, verses 13 to 21. "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause of fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. To him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one who for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak." There is something more important than the other Christians, than what the Christians could eat. Paul is telling them to be aware of how what they ate would affect others. He is telling them to resolve it in order to not put a stumbling block in front of the brethren. And he said, it is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Paul talks about this again in Romans 8, in 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 4 through 13. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is no other God but one. But even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some with consciousness of the idol until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat or are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. In verse 9, Paul says to be aware of how our liberty could become a stumbling block to those who are weak. He says if we offend the weak or cause them to stumble, then we sin against Christ. This is so important that Paul says in verse 13 that if food makes his brother stumble, then he will never again eat meat. We need to be aware of how our actions affect each other. We have a responsibility to be aware or consider one another, so we may edify each other rather than tear each other apart. We also have another responsibility to spread the gospel of Christ. I think that we also need to be aware of how our actions affect those who are outside. We are given the name Christian, which means Christ-like. My actions in the world should communicate that. Yes, those actions include not committing the sins that God clearly defines, but those actions also include anything that could be interpreted as evil. Abstain from every form of evil. Every form of evil. If something I do in public causes an unbeliever to doubt my faith or gives him a false impression of how a Christian should live, then shouldn't I stop doing that? Yes, I have liberty to do whatever I want, to an extent. But remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8. Be aware, lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. We need to be aware. How good are you at this? How good are you at being aware of how your actions may be interpreted? I know there are some things that I do and have done that could have been interpreted falsely. Some of the most prominent examples involve humor. I find some jokes funny, some jokes not so much. And some of the jokes I laugh at, although they're not wrong in and of themselves, some people view them as inappropriate and crude. As a Christian, it is my responsibility. As a Christian, is it my responsibility whether or not someone thinks the jokes that I laugh at are unacceptable based on their beliefs? No, I'm not responsible for them or for what they think. However, I am responsible for the message that I am sending. If I'm aware that people think wrongly about me and what I believe in based on what I laugh at, then I need to do everything in my power to make sure that I'm sending Christ's message through everything I do. If someone sees me laughing at a joke and they think that such jokes are crude, how will they view me? They will view me as a crude person, a person they know to be a Christian. Is that the message I should be sending? What is more important? My liberty to laugh at some jokes, or a message they're getting about the God I serve in my faith? Will I have to give up some things? Probably. Because their impression of who I am goes a lot further than myself. As a Christian, my actions not only impact my reputation, but they also impact God's reputation to the world. Showing God to them is much more important than being able to laugh at a joke. I'm afraid that I'm guilty of this, of sending the wrong message at times. Another example that pops into my head is making derogatory comments about homosexuals, using homosexual stereotypes. I am guilty of this. There are phrases I hear a lot in and out of the church. If someone doesn't think something is cool or is something stupid, they say, "Well, that's gay. That's gay." Or if they're trying to playfully insult someone or calling them an idiot, in other words, they say, "What a gay wad." We laugh at jokes and mock homosexuals and the stereotypes we have of them. Now, what if a homosexual was in the room when we did that? Whether it be someone in the church who struggles with it or someone outside the church, what message are we sending them? Do they feel loved at that point? Do they feel welcome? Do they feel like Christ loves them? We are Christians after all. We're supposed to extend His love towards others. They wouldn't feel loved if they knew or even suspected that we were mocking them. They wouldn't feel welcome. They would walk away, hurt, and with an entirely false impression about God and His love for them. There may be people in this room who struggle with homosexual attractions. Do our actions make them feel welcome? Do our actions make them feel loved? This doesn't just apply to homosexuals. This goes for people struggling with drinking, drug abuse, pornography, swearing, mental illness, lust, etc., and etc. I'm sure we all can think of some actions that send the wrong message. We need to be aware of how our actions affect others. Titus 2, verses 6 through 8. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Men, this is directed at us specifically, to be sober-minded, to be aware of what is going on. That includes how our actions affect others. A pattern of good works, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, and sound speech. So that what? so that people may have nothing evil to say of you. Abstaining from every form of evil fits very well in here. And although Paul addresses this to men, this is good for all of us to follow. 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 16. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, so you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." We are called to be holy. What does holy mean? It means to be devoted entirely to a deity, to be set apart for the service of God. We are to be set apart, to be separate from the world in all our conduct. Set apart by abstaining from every form of evil. If the world cannot tell that you're a Christian, then maybe you are sending the wrong messages. There is much more at stake here than your ability to do what you want. Why is it important what message we send people? Is it because we want them to be nice to us and understand what we believe in so that they will accept us? No. We should want them to have the right impression about God so that they may come to Him and be saved. We have a responsibility to teach others about God so they will come to Him. Our actions are the most powerful tool to teach them. What is at stake here is their soul. That is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8 that if he knew his eating meat would cause a single brother to stumble, then he would never again eat meat. Because to Paul, his brother's soul was more important. What is more important to you? Your ability to do whatever you want, or people's souls? You need to be holy, set apart, not only for our place in heaven, but so that we may show God to those around us and guide them to salvation. The message all of our actions should send should be a message of Christ's love and salvation, a message of the peace and joy that we obtain through His forgiveness, a message that gives them hope and helps them feel loved and valued. We need to be aware of how our actions affect others. Because what should be most important to us is showing them God's will and the salvation that He offers. Paul exhorts us to abstain from every form of evil. He tells us to be aware of how our actions can affect others. We need to be aware of what message we may be sending. Colossians 3 and verse 17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." If you can't do what you're doing in the name of Jesus Christ, should you be doing it? You need to be aware. If you're here tonight, and you have heard the message of Christ's salvation and the eternal life that He offers, and you want to be cleansed of your sin, be washed in the waters of baptism, invite you to make that desire known and be part of this family.